last time. So I don't know what I call this proposition, lemma. Let alpha be bigger than 2 over p prime, beta be bigger than 2 over p tilde. The map k goes to d plus I k inverse. Differentiable good morning sir in the strong operator topology from LP alpha to L p tilde minus beta. So Dan, what was this? Lemma. And recall that mk equals minus of 1 over 4 I k d bar inverse minus d plus I k inverse d bar inverse. So the object is to try to so we need ddk bar of mk and the problem is you see LP alpha we put in this weight. So these things are more decaying than in LP, and in fact, they're sufficiently decaying to be in L1. So the problem is d bar inverse f is not in L1, even if you know if F has compact support. I mean, it need not be. And so the way around this is we'll want to prove that must be another lemma. If you have a number for it, let me know. I want to do this. I want to take d bar inverse of an f in LP tilde. LP alpha. And decompose it into something which does have enough decay. And something which has less decay So this is not in L1, but with derivative having enough decay. Lemma 3. And this will be for the following range of alphas. So alpha will be bigger than 2 over p prime and less than 1. And delta will be less than 2 over p prime and bigger than alpha plus 1 minus 2 over p. So note, delta is less than 2 over p prime, so LP delta is not in L1. Right? We need something bigger than 2 over p prime. So we don't need this fact, I just make it to motivate what's happening here. So these are functions which do not decay enough, but with derivative that does decay enough. All right, so in preparation for this, let me also introduce the following notation. So recall LP alpha is F such that X alpha F is in LP. And then I'll put a dot here. The homogeneous space LP alpha is F such that X to the alpha F is in LP. So in preparation for this, we'll prove a theorem which, so this is due to Nierenberg and Walker, and it has wide application, including in relativity, so it's good for you to know. It's basically another flavor of estimates for the D-bar inverse operator. They have it for much more general operators, but we don't care. So part A and part B is for D-bar inverse. Is bounded as an operator from LP delta to LP delta minus 1. So assume delta is less than 2 over p prime, bigger than 1 minus 2 over p. Then D bar inverse is bounded from this, also from L, the homogeneous one, and this one is bounded on LP delta. LP delta to itself. So the homogeneous spaces are more natural for these estimates. But we're going to be using these here because we want to differentiate this x to the alpha, and I don't want to worry what happens when x is 0. No. Oh, P delta, sorry. All right. So, first let's have some remarks. Remark. The range of delta is sharp. So, at least for leave this remark for a little bit later. I want to insert something else here. So we'll only prove A for the operator KFX equals 1 over, so this is over R2, x minus y, f of y dy. So recall, d bar inverse f at x or at z is 1 over pi convolution z minus w dw. So absolute value of d bar inverse f is less than 1 over pi k absolute value. Put in absolute values. So it suffices to prove it for K. So again, if it works with absolute values, maybe it's not the deepest estimate in the world, but you see the number one, it's rather sharp, and number two, it's rather tricky. So after this, I want to put in the remark that this estimate is sharp at least for K. So to see why the range, to explain, the range of delta, assume K is bounded from LP delta to LP delta minus 1. So let f be simply the characteristic function of, I don't know, the ball of radius 1. Characteristic f of x, characteristic function of x less than 1. Which is, of course, in every LP delta you may wish, for any P and delta. So KF is simply this. Yeah, actually this works. Forget the K, at least for K. So if this was D bar inverse, we would just have 1 over Z minus W. So at infinity, this is like 1 over X integral for x large. What? This is all 2D. Everything is 2D here, I'm sorry. Yeah, but I mean, I should have been careful in the statement of the theorem. There's, of course, an ND version of this, but then the range here changes. So this is C, and K is R2 here. I did put it in. So if X is large, right? So we need 1 over x to be an LP delta minus 1. Right? If k is bounded, then this object should be in here. Sorry, this object should be in here, and therefore the behavior at infinity, sorry, LP delta minus 1 for large x. So that means x delta minus 1 over x in LP. So that means 1 over x to the 1 to the 2 minus delta p. So if something is in is integrable in R2, right, 1 over r to the nu, 1 over x to the nu, x bigger than 1, dx in R2 is finite. Again, you do polar coordinates. So this is r dr, forget the d theta, over r to the nu. So we need nu minus 1 bigger than 1, so nu bigger than 2. Remember that. So we need 2 minus delta p bigger than 2, which means 2 minus delta bigger than 2 over p, delta less than 2 minus 2 over p, which is 2 over p prime. of course, p prime is the exponent conjugate to p. So that tells you delta has to be less than 2 over p prime. On the other hand, let's see. So now we do a dual argument. So we want KFG if KF is in the is in L2 delta minus 1 LP. This should be finite for G in LP prime. So what's the dual of LP delta? Well, LP delta. Delta is delta. I want LP, the dual of LP delta for any delta. That's right. It's LP prime minus delta. So this is the set of things such So claim LP delta dual is LP prime minus delta. And that's easy to check, right? If you have a an F in LP delta and G in the dual, I can write the pairing of F and G like this. This is in LP, so need this to belong to the dual of LP, which is LP prime. So G has to be such that GX to the minus delta is in LP prime. In other words, G is in LP prime minus delta. So here I have 1 minus delta. So KG F is less than or equal to a constant F LP delta G LP prime 1 minus delta, but K equals K transpose so it follows that K is also bounded from LP prime 1 minus delta to the dual of this, LP prime, minus delta. So something I should have put in here is P is here anything between 1 and infinity. It doesn't have to be less than 2. So now take G to be, again, characteristic function of the unit ball. Need kg to be in LP prime minus delta. Again, kg is the same thing. Is in here for x large. For x large. So need what do I need? I need x to the minus delta over x to be in LP prime for x large. Which means 1 over x to the 1 plus delta. So that means 1 plus delta p prime has to be bigger than 2. That means 1 plus delta is bigger than 2 over p prime. Delta is bigger than 2 over p prime minus 1. Which is 2 minus 2 over p minus 1, which is 1 minus 2 over p. So that explains the lower end of the range. Okay? So just by staring at what this should be for the most reasonable function possible for large x tells you the range of deltas that you should be considering. Now, don't get confused by this, because there's a lot harder things coming up today. So this was just a little wake-up exercise. Okay, clear? All right. So now how do we prove this? So, F is in LP delta, means X to the delta F is in LP. So let G is X to the delta F. G is then in LP. And F is x to the minus delta g. So we need to show k of x to the minus delta g is in LP delta minus 1 for g in LP. So I want to move from weighted spaces to regular spaces. Now, what does this mean? That means IE x to the delta minus 1 k x to the minus delta g is in LP, for g is in LP. So A and similarly we want to show just the regular absolute value x delta minus 1 k x to the minus delta takes LP to LP. We also want to show. So that's for the homogeneous weighted spaces. Okay. So let's look at the second one first. So this is equal, okay. So what we'll do is we'll pair it with something in LP prime. So we'll prove that K that 1 over x minus y y to the minus delta g of y dy and then x to the delta minus 1 and then h of x is less than a constant times the LP norm of x times the LP norm of x, p prime norm of h, dx. Oops, sorry, this is straight. I'm doing the homogeneous first, right? Just to show you how natural it is. And so for that, I need a lemma 4. Let's just try to understand an integral. One over x minus y, one over y to the alpha dy is a constant times x to the 1 minus alpha for alpha between 1 and 2. Yeah, this is all in R2. Right, so again, all these arguments are not specific to R2, but the arithmetic of these indices changes a bit. So what we do is we write x equals x times theta with theta equals 1, and we just scale. So let y is xy prime, then this is equal, so this is proof of this lemma. Then this is equal to dy becomes x squared dy prime. Here we can factor absolute value of x, and here we have an x to the alpha, y to the alpha, y prime. So this is x to the 1 minus alpha, as advertised, times the integral, I'll go back to y, theta minus y, y to the alpha. So first of all, this doesn't depend on theta because you can rotate. Everything else only depends on the length. And so we can change theta to the North Pole. So 1 is the vector 1, 0, 0, 0. Well, 1, 0. So alpha is less than 2. So OK at y equals 0, right? If you think of r dr over r to the alpha at near 0, so this is equal to r to the alpha minus 1, which is OK provided alpha minus 1 is less than 1. Alpha less than 2. From the Jacobian. Dy is, dy1 is x, dy2, dy2, no problem. And that's the only thing that's, well, that's not the only thing, so. So the alpha range will change, and also here you'll have an n, if you're in n dimensions. At 1, at, okay, at y equals 1, because near 1 you can shift, right, and then it's y to the power 1. So as long as 1 is less than 2, which most days it is, it converges. And finally, at infinity, right, the problem, possible problems for this integral are 1, 0, and infinity. So at 0, it's okay if alpha is less than 2. At 1, it's okay in any case. And at infinity, this behaves like 1 plus alpha. Okay, if 1 plus alpha is bigger than 2, which means alpha bigger than 1. So that's why this requirement. And so now we have, so this is some number. Beta function, well, that's that's a 1D integral, isn't it? It is like beta function. right? So this proves the lemma. With constant equals this integral. So it's a constant depending on alpha and nothing else. So let's say this is lemma 4a. Lemma 4b, for non-homogeneous things, I claim the supremum over x of x to the alpha minus 1 integral 1 over x minus y. Y to the alpha dy So I no longer claim that this is now just a power of x, but I do claim that this soup is finite if alpha is between 1 and 2. And I leave this as an exercise. But basically, I showed you that at infinity this is okay. And you can check it's okay at 0. When x is 0, this is, again, a convergent integral. And so in between, it's all right. Okay. So this is what will be all right, so this board I can now erase. We want to show that's true, what's up there. For the case of absolute values, and then for the pointy brackets, or Japanese brackets, as I heard somebody call them. Okay, do you feel energetic? Should we take a break now, or yeah, maybe we'll take a break now because I see a lot of sleepy faces.